areas like that, you'll notice that there will be a good king who will have an evil son. And then that evil son has a good son who becomes the next king. And it seems like, and the judges, there will be a good judge, and he'll have a son, and his son becomes a bad judge. You know what I'm talking about? It's a mystery. Well, you can pick it up here in Ezekiel chapter 18. Just bear with me for a second as we set the stage. Now, you're going to skip a rock here in just a few verses, and you're going to see three generations. Look what the Bible says, Ezekiel 18, verse 5. But if a man be just and do that which is lawful and right, and he's going to list several things here, and hath not eaten upon the mountains, neither hath lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, neither hath defiled his neighbor's wife, neither hath come near a menstruous woman, and hath not oppressed any, but hath restored to the debtor his pledge, hath spoiled none by violence, hath given his bread to the hungry, and hath covered the naked with the garment. He that hath not given forth upon usury, neither hath he taken any increase, that hath withdrawn his hand from iniquity, hath executed true judgment between man and man, hath walked in my statutes, and hath kept my judgments to deal truly. He is just, he shall truly, surely live, saith the Lord God. So you've got a good man here. Now keep your place there for a second. And by the way, if you really do a study on those things that he's talking about, there's some real important, very important things there. But then look with me in verse 10. Verse 10, if he begat a son that is, here we go, a robber, a shedder of blood, and hath done the like to any one of these, well, all of a sudden now you've got a good guy, a righteous man, and he has a son that does just the opposite. He does evil things. Then if you drop on down to verse 14 in Ezekiel 18, you'll see, now lo, he begat a son, and seeth all his father's sins which he hath done, and considereth, and doeth not such like. Do you see what we're talking about here? It seems like the pendulum swings. You've got good parents in church all the time, raising children, and one or more of those children abandon that whole lifestyle, and they swing way over here. My wife and I do a lot of counseling, and we run into these very things over and over again. You know, the whole challenge and the whole situation with, and they'll come in and say, I was raised better. I mean, I was raised in a Christian home. We went to church all the time, and then something happened in their life. And then, if you can figure out why good kids go bad, you can also figure out how the mystery is sometimes bad kids go good. I got saved as a 24-year-old policeman, a big metropolitan city. And about 2.5 years later, God called me to preach, went off to Bible college. And so my first job was to be a security guard on campus. And then I was in charge of the security guards. And then they asked me to be in charge of the single men, 600 single fellows in Bible college. And at first, I thought it was a promotion. I'll just give that some thought. 600 fellows with all their issues and falling in love, in and out of love, you know, every other week. I thought it was a promotion at first, and then I began to realize the longer I was in that position. I mean, we lived right in the dorm. There are several dorm buildings, but right in the middle. And it was a nice big apartment. That should have given me the first concern. Really, you're going to let us live in something like, well, we played football in the living room. And but before that whole experience was over, I was beginning to think maybe the Catholics had a correct doctrine about purgatory. You know what I'm saying? Maybe this is the way I work off my sins. But anyway, so I began to work with these young single fellows. Now, I'm just telling you up front, the guys I had the biggest problems with were preachers' kids and missionaries' kids. And I'm trying to figure that out. I'm thinking, you know, I felt like God was calling me into the ministry, and I didn't want my kids to have that kind of an attitude and collect all those demerits that I was giving them. So I went on a quest trying to interview these young fellows. Why do you have such an obstinance against the Bible things? I know your dads, and they've preached in the college. So pressing my investigation from the old police days, I ran across one preacher's kid one day that I think he just kind of captured the essence of the issue. Here's what he said. He said, "Well, Brother Suter," because I was kind of pressing him, you know, "why have you gotten so many demerits? Why are you against the rules? Why are you bumping against everything?" He said, "Well, Brother Suter," he said, "God stole my dad." And I said, "What? What do you mean God stole your dad?" Well, then in tears, here's what he started saying. He said, "My dad and I would have a fishing trip planned. Or we would plan some kind of a little outing. And he'd get a phone call from church. Somebody's got a marriage problem. So he would have to cancel this so he could go do God's work." Now, you and I think, Brother Roach, were raised in the day and age where we were taught, as young preachers, "Look, you do the work of the church, and God will take care of your family. You take care of the church, and God will take care of your family." Now listen to me, that's not biblical. It's not biblical at all. It's our job to take care of the family. So that really helped me begin to see some things. And as I talked to more and more of these young kids, it became real clear, of all the young people in Bible college, at least the single fellows, you would think that preacher's kids and missionaries' kids, and I'm not saying all of them, but man, incredibly high percentage, way too high to be normal, were having struggles and difficulties. Then I discovered what the Bible reason was, and look with me here in Proverbs chapter 18, please. Proverbs chapter 18. There's a real caution for all of us, especially as parents. We have 4 children and 13 grandchildren. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 19, it should be a very familiar verse to us, but look what the Bible says. "A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle." Now, it could be a brother, it could be a wife, it could be a child, it could be whoever. And then look with me in Matthew, please. Matthew chapter 18. Actually, Matthew chapter 18, the whole entire chapter is a chapter cautioning us about offenses. Don't offend the people. And it ends in an incredible thing from the Lord, but specifically here in Matthew chapter 18, verse 6, the Bible says, "But whoso shall offend one of these little ones that which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea." How many of you think that sounds like capital punishment? Because, you know, here's the truth now. Look, a little one, when a little tree is growing, a little child, and they get offended or hurt. Now, I understand it could be maybe on purpose, intentionally or unintentionally. But once they get offended and hurt, that little tree gets a bend in it. And it will grow crooked, maybe for the rest of its life. We have counseled adults, senior citizens, that way back there were raised in a family that they were offended, they were hurt, and they bent them, and they never got over it. See? And then drop down to verse 7. "Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh." Now, how many of you know it's impossible to not get to get through life without offending people? Can I see your hands? Okay. So, it's going to happen, but the caution is be careful with this, because that little tree, when it gets bent, it can grow crooked for a very long time. Then if you drop on down here into verse 15, it gives us some concerns about even as you get to be an adult, the Bible says, Matthew 18:15, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Okay, now how many of you know it doesn't always work out that way? Then the Bible goes on to say, if he won't hear you, it must be such a big deal that you take two or more with you, that in the mouth of two or more witnesses, every word will be, what's the goal? Well, to try to be reconciled to your brother, see? And actually, it must be an awfully big deal, because then the third step, if you're looking there in Scripture, is then take it to the church. Tell it to the church. Maybe there's some wiser people in the church that can help you solve this problem, see? Must be a pretty big deal. And actually, in Romans chapter 14, verse 21, just listen to what it says. It is good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended or is made weak. So I'm just saying to you, these young preacher's sons and missionary sons that I interviewed and talked to, 600 of those kids, and several of them, lots of them were preacher's kids, they had been offended and hurt. Now, you can always know this. When you're offended, you'll always pull away from the person who offends you. So if you've got a youngster that doesn't like to go to school, then you want to look around. Something's happened in school that's hurt them or offended them, and they're pulling away. Or if they say, I want mommy to spank me, I want mommy to spank me. Well, that's another little giveaway here. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And I remember growing up, it was just me and my little brother, 4 years younger, in a lost home. I want to show you kind of how this works. And so, how many of you are firstborn here tonight? Okay. Well, you know what it's like being firstborn. You're the oldest, and you got to be the first one to learn how to empty the trash. Am I right, David? You got to be the first one to be able to do dishes and do this and to do this chore and that chore. And pretty soon, I'm getting to the point where I'm saying, you know, I got this lazy little brother on my hands. And I'm kind of tired of it, see? I'm up to here with it. So one day, in a little pity party I was having, I told my little brother Stephen, I said, Stephen, I'm going to have to tell you something. He said, what? And I said, you're going to have to start helping me with my chores. He said, I'm too little. Mom says it. I said, no, you're not too little. And I was hoping I wouldn't have to tell you this. But you know, you really don't belong in this family. He said, what do you mean? I said, Mom and Dad are really my mom and dad. They're not your mom and dad. What do you mean? I said, well, you see, they got you in an orphanage. Actually, you're adopted. He said, whoa, what does adopted mean? So I had to explain to him. And I said, so now, here's the bottom line. Either help me with my chores, or I know the phone number of the orphanage. I'll call them, and they'll come and get you. I like living here. I understand. But you're just a lazy little kid. You're going to have to help me. Oh, okay. See? Oh, man. And it was great for a long... I mean... Stephen, the trash. Okay. I like living here. I know you do, but you guys, you know, and then clean up this thing here, and then when you're finished, come over to my room and clean this up. I mean, it was wonderful. It was slavery all over again, you know, I don't know. So, then one day, something went wrong. He balked. So, I told him, I said, I can make the call. But you don't do anything. I said, I understand, but you're making up for all the years I've been doing all this. Now, don't make me make the call. See? He said, well, I'm kind of getting tired of it. I don't care. I know how to make a phone call. And little did I know that my mom was standing around the other wall. She said, came around and said, she kind of surprised me. What phone call? Oh, no phone call. No, nothing. There's no phone call. He's going to call the adoption place and I'm going to have to leave. Oh, my. My mom was like a little banny rooster. By the way, you know when I got my last spanking? It was the day before I got married. It was the most embarrassing thing I think I've ever experienced. You know, almost 20. My brother and I were roughhousing. And I mean, the day before I got married. And she said, boys, knock that off. And we didn't. And she came in. And I was instigated. And she came in and she said, Tommy, I told you I'm going to get the belt. I said, Mom, I'm almost 20 years old. She said, she went in and got the belt. It was so embarrassing, Brother Roach. I leaned up against the wall like this, like I always used to make all the people when I arrested them, you know. And she wailed the daylights out of me. See? Now, if she's still good when I'm 19, you can imagine what she was like way back there. Anyway, I couldn't sit down for some time. Now, all I want to say to you is this. It's all about offenses. Now, I want you to see two things. I want you to see a telescopic view, a big view of this on a national level, United States of America. Then I want you to see how it works in a microscopic family level. So I grew up right after World War II. And all of our dads were coming back from the war. They were military people. They knew how to take orders and they knew how to give orders. Well, they came back to America and they were actually putting America back together again. So they became workaholics. So they were military mindset and a bunch of workaholics. They were kind of absent parents. If we communicated back then, it was always barking off orders. Left face or something, whatever, you know. And you never countered with it. You never gave a reason or excuse. They just barked off those orders, and that's what we did. Because of that offense and the hurts that we received back there, the pendulum began to swing. Now, this is how it works from one generation to the next. The pendulum swung way over here. So my generation, growing up in that kind of a home with a lot of offenses and hurts, never explaining why, just do it, we swung way over here and we became the hippies. Do I have any hippie friends here tonight? Oh, I see one right here in front. Okay, well, all I'm saying to you, yeah, your parents were probably strict like my parents. So they swung way over here and they said, okay, you know, look, that's a bunch of rules, regulations, military mindset. We don't want any rules. All we want to do is play our guitars and let our hair grow long and not work. See, they retired early. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. So what happened? Well, because they were offended with that lifestyle, they swung us far away. See what I'm saying, dude? When somebody gets offended, they'll pull away from you. You offend your wife, she pulls away. You walk into the other room, she walks out of the room. You offend one of your youngsters, they don't want to talk to you. You try to strike up a conversation, it's just fine. No. Yes. They always pull away. So the hippie generation pulled away from the offenses, but in their love-ins and all the drugs and stuff, guess what? They had children. Those children grew up and were offended by the lazy lifestyle of people that weren't going anywhere. So guess what they did? They swung the pendulum all the way back. Where did it wind up? The yuppies. The yuppies are young urban professionals. Actually, now mom and dad both work. Are you hearing me? And they got good jobs, nice house. So they have children, and the guideline for the children is go in, latch the door, latchkey kids, lock up the place. You'll be safe. Got a refrigerator full of food. We got all kinds of little games to play. I mean, and we'll be home as soon as we can. 8 o'clock, maybe 9. If we're not, then be in bed by 9. And hopefully we'll see you in the morning. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, guess what happens? Almost like the same kind of parents that I grew up with. And now the pendulum does what? It swings all the way. See how it works on a big scale? All the way back now to the X generation. What's the X generation? Extreme generation. In other words, it's all about sports or something extreme. You get on your motorcycle, you race 85 miles an hour up a ramp, and you see if you can do 4 flips before you land. How many of you realize that's a low to no IQ right there? See? That's my job. See, it's my job. I do all these X-rated things. Now, they're having kids. Where do you think this is going to go? See, it just keeps swinging back and forth and back and forth. So why do good kids feel bad? Well, because in a good Christian home, something will happen that offends them. And you can spot it, but if we don't do something about it, it just grows. A little tree gets bent, and it grows, and it grows, and it grows. Sometimes it's perceived. Like we counseled this one lady, Ruth. And when she showed up for her appointment, she was really dressed like a man. I suppose maybe from the back you couldn't tell, but what she was a man. Short haircut, everything. And so as we began to talk, I asked her this simple question. In your whole entire life, what do you think was the most painful, hurtful, emotional experience you ever had to go through? She said, oh, well. She says, I was a little girl, only kid in the family. Mom and Dad were arguing one time. I'll pick up on this. And she said, I heard my dad as he was slammed the door leaving. He said to my mom, she said, you know I always wanted a boy. She's a girl. She's your responsibility. Oh, think about that, see? What a terrible hurt. She grew up all the time wanting to please her dad, so guess what? Everything moved in that direction because of an offense. What a thing when you think about it. And you find it throughout the Scripture. I'm just saying to you, the thing that I think that does the most damage is this whole big issue of offenses. Now, look with me for a second in Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs chapter 27. When you lose the ability to teach and to counsel your children, you've lost your children. Maybe something has happened to your child that you don't even know anything about. Over at somebody's house, they were molested. Something happened that you don't even know anything about. See? And you're wondering why it is. You've got 3 children, and 2 of them seem to be doing really well, but this one, what is wrong with this one? You want to look for something, maybe a secret hurt and a secret offense that occurred that maybe they haven't even told you about. Proverbs chapter 27, look what the Bible says in verse 19. The Bible says, as in water, face answereth to face, so the heart of man to man. In other words, as you're looking in a pool of water, you see your own reflection. But as you're looking around, your heart reflects things around you. Now, I told you we're going to look at a telescopic view. Now, I want you to see a microscopic view. So I was raised in this home, and it just seemed like I could never please my dad. You know, we never had a sit-down talk. We really never sat around the table and talked about things. We just never talked about things. If you asked a question, it was no. Now, again, it's a lost home. No, that's stupid. See? So, that by the way, that kind of curbs your questions. Do you know what I'm saying? So, in my teen years, I set myself one goal. It wasn't to get a car. Here was my goal. My goal was, I will never turn out to be like my dad. Well, what about my dad? Well, he was lost. And he smoked, and he drank, he chewed tobacco. I hated sitting in the car behind him, the driver, you know. Because driving down the road, chewing tobacco, big wad of tobacco, pretty soon. I mean, you couldn't watch the scene or anything. You just had to watch the back of his head. Okay, I think he's getting ready to spit. And, you know, because when you're down the road and it comes right. So I had my hand always on the window, up the window, juice all along the side. All I'm saying to you. So, and he wore these funny-looking bibbed overalls. Well, you couldn't catch me dead in a pair of bibbed overalls, see? Now, because I was offended, catch this. See, why do good kids go bad? The same reason why sometimes bad kids go good. So, raised in that kind of home, catch this now. I never smoked, drank, chewed tobacco, and never wore those funny-looking bibbed overalls. Wasn't going to do it. See? Why? Wasn't because I was going to church. Wasn't because I got saved. Because I am not going to turn out to be like my dad. Now catch this. As in water, face answereth to face. So the heart of man to man. And I didn't turn out to be like my dad on all those things, except for one day in an argument with my mom. You know what my mom said to me? Young man, you're turning out to be just like your father. And I thought, how could that be? I don't do any of that stuff. Well, now look. See, now here's the problem. Whoever you're concentrating on in life, you're going to conform to be just like them. Maybe not on the outside, but definitely on the inside. You have a lot of conflict with your mother. I can't stand my mother. Maybe you're married, and your mother calls you all the time, and that's why we got caller ID. You look on, oh, no, that's my mom calling. Oh. This isn't a good day. I can't take this call. I just can't. You know, I'm saying to you, what you really, you're hooked to them emotionally. And you're going to turn out to be just like them. What a shame. That's actually, Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 44 says it this way. Behold, everyone that uses proverbs shall use this proverb against thee, saying, as is the mother, so is her daughter. Uh-oh. Now, all I'm trying to say to you is this. I decided, since I was offended in my home, I didn't want anything to do with their values. I've never heard my mom and dad sing a hymn from the hymn book. Never heard them read a Bible verse. Never heard them. I mean, I grew up whistling Wabash Cannonball, if that means anything. Old country thing because my dad whistled. Now, all I'm trying to say to you is, because I was grew up like that and was offended, my goal was I will never turn out to be like them. Now, look, I swung all the way over here. I didn't drink, smoke, chew tobacco, didn't wear bibbed overalls. And even started going to church when I was older. Why? I don't know why, other than I just wasn't going to be like him. Except I couldn't escape it on the inside. My dad could never be wrong. Guess what? I could never be wrong. Then I got saved, 24-year-old cop, and it really began to swing my life around. By the way, I did go out and buy a pair of bibbed overalls. Have a pair. I'm okay wearing them. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's just huge, church. It's just really huge. Offenses. Wow. Last thing. I remember as a brand new Christian, you know, we were real picky about our children. We'd let them go play with neighborhood kids. So we built a little sand pile out in our backyard. Little sliding glass door and a deck and then sand pile. A bunch of kids out there. Little Billy, policeman's son from next door, he was out there. And pretty soon I heard this blood-curdling scream from little Billy. And I looked outside, and sure enough, globs of sand were falling out of his eyes. And there stood our little daughter with an empty bucket that had some sand in it. She kind of looked like this. And so my wife cleaned the sand out of his eyes, washed it out, and I called her in. I said, now, Gina, honey, you know, throwing sand, you could hurt somebody's eyes. I mean, they might go blind. Now, don't throw sand anymore. Okay, Dad. So we settled down. The kids started playing again. Pretty soon, guess what? Little Billy, I could hear his voice, recognize it. And sure enough, globs of sand falling. So my wife cleaned him up. We sent everybody home. I brought Gina in down to the spanking room, and I paddled her. And, you know, settled down, supper time. She came over, sat down. We started eating, but I noticed she wasn't really eating. She was just kind of, her fork, she was kind of pushing the food around. I said, now, sweetheart, you know, your mom worked hard for supper here. You need to eat. So she moved the food around to the other side of the plate. I watched her. And pretty soon my wife said, hun, can I talk to you for a second? So we walked to the other room. She said, you know, I talked to Gina, and I found out that she didn't really throw sand the second time. And I'm thinking, oh. But then I thought this. Yeah, but I bet she's thrown sand a lot of times that I didn't know about. You know, I bet you... I mean, if we were to even this thing out, I bet she's way ahead of the game, you know. She's probably gotten by with a whole lot of stuff that I haven't caught, see. So, but I started, the Holy Spirit began to deal with me about that. So I'm sitting there and I said to her, I said, honey, now finish up. And how about you and Dad walking up a couple blocks to the mall and we'll get an ice cream cone? Seemed like it was okay. So when she's finished, we... hand in hand, walked down the street. Pretty soon, she kind of pulled her hand out of mine. I asked her a few questions. It was just kind of yes, no. And got her ice cream, comb eating, tried to stir up a conversation, couldn't get anywhere. And a long walk, a two-block walk of conviction from the Holy Spirit. Finally, when we got home, I realized what the real problem was. Look, when somebody offends you, you pull away from them. It's really interesting. It's like if your hand, you know, the Bible says, I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. So the tips of your fingers are like the spirit. This part is like the soul, and this part is the body. When you offend someone, you offend your wife, the first thing they do, they kind of close down their spirit. You can sense it. You know it. And if you don't correct, then or things get worse, then they close all the way down. They don't want to talk to you. They don't want you to know how they're feeling. Is something wrong? No.
Well, you know it's wrong.
And then if you don't correct it, they close all the way down. And they walk in one room and away from you. And you do a lot of couch time. Now, all I'm trying to say to you. I got home, I took little Gina in the back room, and I said, sweetheart, Mom told me that you didn't throw sand that second time.
I didn't throw the sand, it wasn't me.
I said, I am so sorry that I spanked you. I was wrong. Would you please forgive me? She lunged at me, little chunky arms around my neck, about choked me.
Dad, I love you. I didn't throw the sand.
I was so convicted. Now, catch this. I was so convicted that we hugged each other. We talked. And I went in the other room and got the paddle. Brought it back in. I'd been over the bed. I gave it to her. I said, I would really like to take this spanking back. She said, grabbed my leg. Dad, I can't speak you. I can't speak you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now look, it didn't take much to open that little flower back up again. Look, it's not a big deal. Now listen to me. Just two things. Apologize if you've been wrong. You know, you'll know it because they'll pull away from you. It's hard, yes. It's a pride thing and it's an ego thing. But apologize if you've been wrong. And listen, if you've been wrong, don't hang on to the mad until they come back to me and apologize right here in front of me. No, 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 no. Look, you're letting them control you like a bungee cord. You have the power from the Bible. Just forgive them. Don't wait for them to come and ask. Kids, now listen to me, young people. Your parents are not perfect. Kids are not perfect. They're going to make mistakes. Now, if you wait all your growing up years for them to come back and apologize and admit it before you can release them, then you're the one that's going to get the raw end of the deal. What you should do is just forgive them and hope you don't make that many mistakes when you get to be parents. See? And if you're a parent and you've offended a youngster, it would be so important to make the effort, step over, ask them to forgive you. See? So, why do bad kids go good? The same reason why good kids go bad. It doesn't take much to get it back and maybe live here in the middle so we're not swinging one generation way over there and another generation way over. The Bible says, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Father in heaven, thank you tonight for these truths. Big telescopic view of where we are in the United States of America, and then a microscopic view of what's happening right here in our families. We just work so hard raising these children, Lord. We don't want to miss a simple remedy right from your word. So help us tonight. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Let me ask.